Okay. See everyone, okay. Okay, so we're beginning in a certain sense a new sugya, at least from the Maror Makomos vantage point, but it's really in a certain sense also a continuation of the previous sugya. So we're trying to deal with one basic question. The Mishnah, the Maror elaborates and tells us that there's a din of kimla b'dramine vis-a-vis a rodef. And rodef, of course, means not only rodef achar chaver l'harga, but it means rodef achar erva as well. So anytime you're being rodef achar an issue is an erva to you, and it's a karis to you, you by definition are nita l'til b'nafsho. And if it's nita l'til b'nafsho, then any chi of mama that you incur should be covered, should be canceled by kimla b'dramine. And it's that premise that poses a big problem, because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubas, beginning of the third parak, that says otherwise. The Mishnah talks about a person is Baal HaChoysa, a person is Ma'anes, his sister is Ma'anes, his wife's sister is Ma'anes, his aunt, all kind of crazy cases of the person who's going to be Chayef Koresh for what he's doing. And in the process of being Chayef Koresh, he's in a sense a Rodev. And yet, the Mishnah says, he still incurs a Chiyuv of paying Kenas. So how do we make any sense of that? So yesterday we spent a lot of time addressing one answer in the Gemara about the question of a time delay, that the Hara is the beginning and the Gemara is the end, and exactly at the same time, the 3 days we showed what in the world that Teretz even meant. But now we're going to go down the next Teretz, well, not really the next Teretz, two Teretz from later, the Teretz is we're going to focus on for the next Sugya, is the Gemara says that Yitaka right, that if the person would be Rodef Acha Erev and Anes, a woman, Inochinami would taka be nitel until the benafsho, Inochinami the taka wouldn't be a chi of kenas. So what does the Mishnah mean in the third part of Ksubas when it talks about the possibility of kenas for Baal HaChoysa, etc.? So says the Gemara, as we mentioned yesterday, there are two parshas of Chumash, there's parshas of Mishpat and parshas of Kiseitse. One of them speaks about a Inesa, one speaks about a Mefate. A Mefate is somebody who seduces a girl. He convinces her. He talks her into being Mizana with him. So there's also a heavy price to be paid. The 50 shekels to be paid for that also. That money goes to the father. She's an Ara Basula. So the father's going to get the money back for that act of Pitoy. And the dinim of Onas of Mefate is slightly different. Onas is Mechuyiv to marry her. Mefate is not necessarily Mechuyiv to marry her. Onas pays and marries. Mefate does get him. So there are a lot of details and differences between the two. So comes the Gemara and says, this is going to be a difference as well. This is going to be an important difference. Because when the Mishnah in Ksubas describes the paying of a kenas for somebody who is being mezana with an issa erva to him, this is not the imagery of a guy attacking somebody. This is not a guy running after a girl with a knife and being ma'anisar in the sense of the real din of right. This is not a right of pachlal. This is a man who talked this girl into doing a terrible aveira. That's a mefata. It's a terrible thing. It's a gefarlich, a horrible, miserable crime. But rodef, it's not. And since it's not a rodef, it's not being boiled up the al-korcha, therefore, it's not nitel tzil benafsho. So if you see a person doing this thing, it's a terrible thing, and you better call the beis din and call the cops and call whatever, whoever you can call, but you can't kill. You can't kill for that, because he's not being ma'anisar. It's not a rodef. So says the Gemara, that's the case in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah talks about the kenosos in these bizarre, wild cases of arayas, hachamim ayaskin on these other cases, that he's not being ma'anis in the first. Only limited, the whole Mishnah is only limited to pitui. It's ad kan teretz haGemara. So of course, just from a pure stylistic teretz, if you would read the Mishnayos in the third pair of Ksubas, and you wouldn't learn this Gemara in Sanhedrin, in your wildest dreams, you wouldn't have thought that the Mishnah is talking about dafke, about a mefata, not about an oynes. The Eilon Irish Yeshem Kenas is only mefata, not oynes. Like Mechat say, okay, so you have to have a Munus Racham. So this Amoiro is giving this teretz in the Gemara. Obviously, the other Amoiro will give different teretz. Some didn't like this teretz. This is probably why they didn't like this teretz, because the Mishnah doesn't sound this way. Okay, Pulim Makabo, what can we do? One of the Amoiro set up Shah in the Mishnah, we're not going to argue with it. But comes Tosfos in our Sugi and says, wait a second. This is not just a stylistic question. There is a very, very serious problem in this Gemara Zokimta. If the Gemara really means to say that this Mishnah, the third Berak Subas, is not talking about Oynes, it's only talking about Mefata, there is a huge problem, Api Alocha, in saying that, sticking that Pshat into the Mishnah. And Taisus gives you a whirlwind tour, the third Berak Subas, to explain to you what that huge problem is. So again, we're going to forget our sugya for a minute. We just want to focus on one nekuda. Is it feasible? Is it practical? Is it reasonable to say that the Mishnah Ksubas is talking only the language of Mefata, not the language of Oynes? So Tosfos claims it's impossible. And let them explain to you why. Says Taisus, go down the list of the women who are mentioned in the Mishnah of El Nair Sheshem Kiras. So one of them is the person who is Boel, whatever you think the Pshat in the Mishnah is, who is Boel his Eishes Ochiv, his brother's wife. That's one of the cases. Haboel Eishes Ochiv, so he's Chayev in Kiras. He's Chayev Koris, that's true, but we pass in that Koris isn't the Poter of Kibbutz Rabbanei, we don't accept every Chayev in Akkadah. So he's Chayev in Pei the Kiras for Boel Eishes Ochiv. So Tosis just does the simple math. Tosis says, can you please give me the case? Please tell me exactly who this woman is. What exactly is going on with this woman? She's an Eishes Ochiv. Are you going to tell me that she's still married to his brother? That is absurd, says Tosis. Why is that absurd? The kid that shaykh to say such a proud mission. Why? If she's married to his brother, what does she Rabbi say? She's an Eishes Ish. If she's an Eishes Ish, the game's over. So then, of course, there's no work. What kind of knas? She's an Eishes Ish. So obviously, we must be talking about a Eishes Achiv. What? That she was Eishes Achiv at one time, but she's not Eishes Achiv anymore. So she was in Skarsha, in Salman. Well, give you a case of scenarios that she's no longer Eishes Achiv. But wait a second. We're still not done. Why? Because if she was really, truly married to his brother for a significant amount of time isn't so important, but rather she was Nesuas Achiv, that the couple, his brother, was actually living together, Kishri Ishtai, they already had Nesuin, they already had Yichud, they had a Chuppah, they already were Nesuin, not just Erisin. So then we have a very, very serious problem. Because how in the world can the Mishnah say, Haboyel Eishes Achiv is Chayav Knas? So obviously she can't still be Eishes Achiv, that's a given. So obviously it must be after being an Amman or being a Grusha. But wait a second. If she was Nesua to his brother for any amount of time, what is she by definition? She's a Ba'ula. Whenever you have Nesua, that by definition means she was a Ba'ula. If she was a Ba'ula, then there's no Kras anyway, because the Torah says Basula of Loi Ba'ula. So we are really, really, really limiting this case. We have this Mishnah staring in our face that says that Habol Eishes Achiv is Chayev to Bei Kenas. And we're scratching our head and trying to figure out what's the case. Like, how come I skin? What? Where? Who? What's the scenario? So to say she's still married to the brother, that's out of the question. To say she was in the Suas Achiv, that's right out of the question for a different reason. So you have to really, really kvetch and say, how come am I skin on that she was married to his brother, but not Nesuin? She was Arusas Achiv, Shenis Almo, Shenis Garsha. That's basically what happened. So I read the Mishnah Ksuba doesn't say anything about that, but Tosfos just does the math. Tosfos says it's got to be that, otherwise it's an absurd case, otherwise there's no case. So good, Zolzan, Tosfos says, that's called Eishes Achiv. By the way, the Issa of Eishes Achiv is in full force, even if she's no longer married to his brother anymore, even if the Elacha Gerish and Achala, she's an Amana, that's 1,000,000% Eishes Achiv. The only exception to the rule of Eishes Achiv is, of course, what?
Yibum.
But short of that, there's nothing to discuss. Short of that, that's a disaster. There was a story, it was told about Reb Chaim Hoizer, that apparently he got stuck somewhere. He was traveling somewhere on Friday, and he got stuck in some little shtetl somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he couldn't continue to travel. He was getting close to Shabbos, so he pulled into town. And he spent Shabbos in this little town. I don't know whether they knew he was Chaim Moiser. You know, in those days, this was pre-Gedolim pictures. So nobody really knew where anybody was. So he was a visiting man. So he came, he stayed in the inn, the motel, whatever it was, and it was the 80 Shabbos meals. And apparently in shul, I don't know, maybe wind got out, the word got out that he was a rav or something. So again, this is where the story goes. So I have no idea whether it's true or not. Unfortunately, a lot of stories, I have no idea what the stats of the stories are. But this is an okay story to tell. But it happened, didn't happen. It's a good story anyway. So some stories, when they didn't happen, so have very, very negative meanings to them. Sometimes people tell Maislechon stories. And the Musa Haskell of the story is so absurd. This Musa Haskell is so wrong that people say, but it happened. And then you find out the story never happened anyway. So it's a kashya of life. So this story has a good ending to it. So it doesn't really matter what happened or not. So the Reb Chaim Moiser was in town. And a man came up with him. And he said he wanted to share something with him. He saw it was very tragic that his brother had died. And the wife had left, she had the younger children. And he felt it would be the right thing to do, to marry his brother's wife, just to help out, for him to help out with the kids. He was a bachar. He was a tamim sikah guy. He wanted to help out the amana of his brother. So So I said, that's not Yibum. The only time, and even Yibum we don't do with man is that for technical reasons, but that's not Yibum, that's Arayas Mamish. I said, Chalila v'chalila, the kids would have been Mamzeim, would have won such a marriage. And that town, it was a little tiny town, nobody knew, I don't know, there was a Rav in town, not a Rav in town, nobody seemed to know Pasul Chumash, and he was planning getting married to this woman. So Rav Chaim Moses said, again, the way the story went is, Rav Chaim Moses said, now he understands why his wagon broke down on Friday. There was Nigs in the Shemaim, he should end up in this town to save a yid from Venissa Karas, to create Chalil, my Mamzerim of Yisrael. So it was worth it that he had to have a miserable Shabbos. He got stuck on his way back to home. Anyway, again, it still happened now, I don't know. But the din is true. The din is true whether the story is true or not. So the bottom line is, so Tysus is having a lot of trouble trying to figure out what's the case? Is the case Eishes Achim Mamish? That's out of the question. Is the case Nesuas Achim? That's out of the question. There must be Arusas Achim Shin Gasha. That must be the case. So now Tosfos gets ready for the Kasha. Tosfos says, let's recap for a minute. If the case is Arusas Achim Shin Gasha, leave out the fact of Eishes Achim for a second. Give me a normal case, a normal, regular, standard Arusas Shin Gasha case. What would the din be? If you have a 12-year-old girl, her father was ready to be Kabbal Kedushin for her, and then she was subsequently divorced, or her husband died, and she was only in Arusa. So now what's her status exactly vis-a-vis Knas? What happens to her exactly? So this is a very, very tricky situation. This is a sugya, a mishnah, a gemara later on at the end of the third brach of Ksumas. And we pass in halach like Rabbi Akiva, who says that there's still Knas here, because nothing happened to Mimafkiya that Knas. Because if you think about it, she's still a besuwa because she was only in Arusa. She's not married now because she already was divorced. The husband already died. So she has no reason that there shouldn't be a kenas. Who is the address of that kenas written to? Who gets that kenas? So normally we think who normally gets the kenas? The father gets the kenas. So comes to be a kibbutz with a drush and says, no. It says in the Chumash, Asher lo arasa. If she was this arsa, then there is a kenas, all right? But the kenas is not going to the father. The kenas is going to her. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, if and when you have a scenario of an Arusha Shenis Garsha, leaving out Eishes Achim, a normal Arusha Shenis Garsha, the kenas is paid, but she's Zoich in the kenas, the father's not Zoich in the kenas. Ad kan one sugyin ksubis. Then Tosfos didn't finish the story yet. Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos says, wait a second. The Gemara also says in Maseches Ksubis that in a case of an Arusha Shenis Garsha, a regular, normal girl, no way, she's a regular, normal Arusha Shenis Garsha. If somebody is Ma'anes her, so then they have to pay her the 50 shekel. But if somebody is Mefata her, then what's the din? What does the Gemara say? Potter. You don't have to pay. Why don't you have to pay? Do a simple calculation. Why should I pay this girl? She agreed. She consented. Okay, I did a little of extra, you know, I convinced her. But at the end of the day, she consented, she agreed. So why do I have to pay her money for? So Bishlam, a regular mafata, you can't say that. Why? Because where does the mafata money go to, everybody say? Normal fata goes to? Goes to the father. So it goes to the father. She's not a balabas to be Michael and the father's chuyos. But in this one crazy case, the one wild scenario, that she gets the knas money, how could she get the money? How could she get the money if she was mafuta? She agreed. She consented to the act of znus. So comes the Gemara and says that in the situation where the money is going to the father, I understand what her consent is not going to lamal lamayri. But if the money is going to her anyway, her consent should be a paita for the money. So this is not going to be right. That hamafata es arusa shen is gasha potter. As I state in the Mishnah, that just connect the dots. Rabbi Akiva said the money goes to the girl. If she's consenting, so for Shaita, she's going to lose the money. So now Tosfos has the Mishnah. Now Tosfos has a problem. Now Tosfos has to get, they took us through a whirlwind tour of the end of the third paragraph of Ksubas, connected the dots, and I said, wait a second, hold the phone. I said, you're telling me in Sanhedrin that the Mishnah of Elu Naaras is not talking about Oinus. It's talking about Mefata. How do I know it's not talking about Oinus? Because if we would be talking about Oynes, then all the case of Chayvei Krisus would be part of Kimlev Draminei. Because the Mishnah Sanhedrin says that whenever there's a Reidev, Reidev Acha Erva, so there's no Chiyuv to pay Mammon. So we know for a fact, says this day in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the whole Mishnah, Hakol Mikol Kol, the first Mishnah, third Bechel Ksubis, is talking about Mefata. It's not, cannot possibly talk about Oynes. Says Tosfos, really? It's talking about Mefata? Really, truly? But there's a case snuck in there that's got to be an Arusa Shenis Garsha. Because if not, then there's no other Taish in the case. There's no other case of Eshes Achiv. So basically, the Mishnah is saying that in the case of an Arusa Shenis Garsha, there is a Chiv of Knas for Mefata. And that's a red line. That can't be. That's a Gemara. Later on, that's impossible. Because Chazal say Potter. Arusa Shenis Garsha, Mefata Potter. And it's Chai Mefata Potter. So Tosfos says, aha, we got a four-way steer. Tosfos put together, they learned sugyas in Sanhedrin, three sugyas in Maseches Kubis, and all of a sudden came up with a razzle-dazzle kasha that it's impossible for anybody ever to try to convince us that the Mishnah of the third Bechel Ksubis is talking about a mefata, because Imkain, she shouldn't be getting the money. No mefata should be getting the money when there's an Arusah Shenis Garsha, and there's got to be an Arusah Shenis Garsha in there because there's no other taich in Eishes Ochiv. So that was Tosfos' kasha. Wow, you gotta learn Ksubis for a whole year to understand and appreciate that kasha. Right. So, yeah. Asha, you learned Ksubis, no? Didn't you learn Tosfos' Ksubis? Okay. Yeah.
Is it possible to suggest maybe that the girl was under three, so maybe she had Bia, but it wasn't considered a Maisa Bia?
Under three, how's that going to help me?
Meaning because when the Bia wasn't a Maisa Bia B'chol, and then the husband died afterwards?
I'm not sure how that's going to help me. So, is she a Nesua or not a Nesua? So what you're probably...
I'm saying, because the problem with suggesting that she was already married, like, meaning with Nesua, is that she's going to be a Bahua.
You mean you're just giving another case. You want to give me another, a very creative case of an Eishes Achiv who was an Eishes Achiv who only had Bia under three. So you want it, so you're bechaving to the suffix of the Mishnah Melech whether you can have Nesuin for a Ketana under three. That's what your suffix is, Asher, right? So I'm not sure that's going to help me. I'm not sure. I have to think it through whether that's going to help me or not.
Okay?
All right. Getting back to that story. So this is Tosfos' challenge. So Tosfos throws their hands up and says, you know what? We're going to find you a case where a person is mefate in Arusa Shenis Garsha and he's still going to have to pay the cash. He's still going to have to pay the kenas. What do you mean? The Gemara says he doesn't have to pay. Tosfos says, nope. We're going to find a case that he does have to pay. Why? Who? What? Where? So Tais makes a simple calculation. Tais says, why doesn't he have to pay? A regular, normal, average, everyday mafuta, you know, mafata es arusa shenis garsha. Hopefully it's not every day. A mafata es arusa shenis garsha, why don't they have to pay? What does the Gemara say? What's the reason for that? Because she's what? She's obviously mecheles. She agreed, she consented to the actor's nus. She needed a little bit of convincing, but unless she can consent it. So Tosfos says, since the whole point there is our mechila, easy come, easy go. She got up and she told him straight to his face, I'm going to be mezana with you, I agree, but I'm not mechila my kenas. I still want my 50 shekel. So she made it to that. She said, I'm not mechila, she can mechila. So Tosfos says, that's the case. That's the case. At least brave with Tosfos says, that's the case. You know, you could already begin to sense that we're getting deeper and deeper into trouble here. That as it is, we were so weary about making the mission of the third Bechel Ksubis talking only Mefata and Oynes, because when you learn, you know, many yeshivas start and they learn Eilun Iris, they open up the first day, Eilun Iris, Sheshem Kenas, and then the Rebbe whispers, oh, by the way, everything we're going to talk about for the next 6 months is only talking about Mefata and Oynes. It's like a little downer. I mean, that's not what you think. When you're learning Ksubis, Taf Chav Tes, Lam and Lamed Aleph, and Beis, Lam and Gimel, you think you're talking Oynes and Mefata. There's no reason in the world to believe you're talking about Mefata. So Nebuch, it's a Tosh that told Jochem Haskid, it's a Gemara, and said that Nebuch had said it's a Mefata. Now, in addition to that, we have to be doichik a little bit more and say, and oh, by the way, once we're talking about Mefata, so then the Mishnah that records the din, Lagavi Eishes Achiv, by the way, yeah, it's a Mefata, but it's a Mefata who explicitly says she's not Moichel the Kenas. We're running into deeper, deeper trouble. So you can tell that Tais themselves were sensitive, that Tais themselves weren't so sure whether this Teretz is correct. So Tais says, you know what's going to save the day? What's going to save the day is who, Rabbi Yisai? What's going to save the day? The Rishalmi. For Shteit and Rishalmi. Rishalmi, the Rebbe Ksuba says that when a person is Mefata, a girl, even if the Knas was coming to her, And she says, it's okay, it's okay. I agree, I want to be mezana with you. You know what the Yerushalmi says? Even though she consented, and even though she was quote-unquote mochelas, you know what happens? She still gets the knas. Why? My high? She was mochelas. What does the Yerushalmi say? Anyone looked up the Taisus quotes Yerushalmi? What does Yerushalmi say? She can't be mechalas the kenas, even if she wanted to be mechalas the kenas. You know why? Why can't you be mechal the kenas? Everybody say, you can only be mechal what? You can be mechal something that what? Something that's coming to you. If I lend you $100 and I want to be mechal that chayv $100, I can be mechal. You owe me $100. If you break my window and I want to be mechal $100, I can be mechal $100. I can't be mechal the kenas. You know why? Because it's not what? Think back to some of the things we spoke about in the past about kenas. What? Kenas is not quite kapara. You want to, you're mechavin ready to the Tosfos. The Tosfos says that there are other places you can't be meichel tashlumi kapara. There is a third level of tashlumin in halacha. There's mammon, there's kenas, and there's kapara. So Tosfos claims that kapara you can't be meichel because Usher, remember the poem, remember the rhyme. Why you can't be meichel kapara? You don't remember the rhyme, Asher? That's right, Novea Minat Tovea, yeah. The Rebbe Chanan didn't mean to make a rhyme, but Rebbe Chanan says that you can't be Michael, you can't be Michael Kapari. You know why? Mechila means that if something's coming to me, so I'm in charge, I'm in the driver's seat. You owe me the money, so I'm going to be Kaveo, whether you're going to pay me or not. So I have a right to be Michael. Mashiach in Kapara means you have a chiyuv to Shemayim. You have to pay the kaifa, you have to pay the make tumor, whatever you think case of Kapara are. You have the cheshma of the Rebbe Shalom. You have to get Kapara Savainis, what you did. So you have to pay me the money. So who am I to be Michael the money? So that's what Rebbe Chanan uses. He doesn't coin the rhyme. We made up the rhyme. He uses the phrase as he says that the only time you can be Michael is when the schus is Noveya Mitzad HaNitva. Means when I'm the one who's entitled to the. I'm sorry, backtrack. When the schus, the only time it can be Michael is when the schus is Neveya Mitzad HaTeveya. That means I'm being Teveya something, I'm the Bala boss, I'm in the driver's seat, and I want to back out, I want to put myself, I can be Misalik myself. So when the schus is Neveya Mitzad HaTeveya, then you can be, there's Mechila. But if the schus is Neveya Mitzad HaNitva, means you need kapara. So I'm going to be Meichel. I say, you have to be a korban through Rebbe Shalom. So I'm going to say, no, it's okay. It's on the house. You don't have to be Meichel. Who am I? I'm not the Rebbe Shalom. I can't be Meichel Yuachiyum to Rebbe Shalom. So that's what you were Bechavim to, the Taisa and Rash. Not for that. But in terms of Kenasas, why can't you be Meichel and Kenas? For what's that? Why can't you be Meichel and Kenas? I'll give you a hint. Rebbe Kivei Gemakas that, hey, it doesn't ring a bell.
It's not yours
yet. It's a Dovah Shalom Bali Yoylam. It doesn't exist. Knas is in the loft, is in the air. Bishlama, when I break your window, so I owe you $100. The chiyuv mammon is there already. Yeah, do him a foursome. That when I break your window, I'm mechuyev to pay the money right now. The fact that Adam did not come, the fact that the Bezin was mechayim or not, that's totally irrelevant. At the end, I'm mechuyev to pay the money. The goal of Adam, the goal of Dayanus, the goal of a dinteir and mammon is simply levaris adover. We don't know whether I'm chayev, so we have to go through the protocol of Bezin to figure out whether I'm chayev or not. By kenosis, everybody knows that the Chiyuv of Knas isn't really Chal yet. So since the Chiyuv of Knas isn't Chal yet, what do you mean you're Meichel and Knas? It doesn't exist yet. It's Devar Bego, it's meaningless. So you want to tell me it's Mechalik Dera Ma'an Rosh in the first Berakhub of Gamma, right? No, you don't know that? Okay.
I'd love to.
Okay, you can tell me if you want, yeah. Okay, so I don't know whether I'd use the phrase Lema Freya. You're going to go down the route of the Ramban a little bit, but we just want to appreciate this Rishami. So, I understand Rishami. If I was sitting in Tiberi and the Heligat Tamid of Rabbi Yechon were pilpling and telling me this Chiddush, that you can't be Meichel Knas, I got it. I understand that totally. How can you be Meichel? It doesn't exist. It's fine. It's the Chiyuv that's not there yet. What Shaykh to be Meichel? That's what I would have said, like Rishami makes a lot of sense. Of course, as we've already alluded to a little bit earlier today, we were hinting to it before, it's not so pashut that a kenas doesn't exist altogether. There's a low pashut. One could argue that The Chiyuv Kenas exists from the moment that you're Tavech HaMoichel that animal. The Chiyuv Kenas exists from the moment you're Ma'anis that girl. The role of Beis Din is simply to be Mevara. The same way that the role of Beis Din is Mevara, that the window was broken, the role of Beis Din is Mevara, that the Maisa was Mechayev Kenas. So it's not Poshet at all that the Din is that what is the Mechayev of a Kenas? So when it comes to the Chiyuv and Din and Mamanis, there's no question, the Maisa Hezek, the Maisa Alva, the Maisa Mechiyuv, those are the Mechayevim. But when dealing with Kenasos, one could argue that the Maisa is the Mechayev, one could argue that's the Beis Din, that's the Mechayev. That seems to be the Nekudah that Yushalmi is being Eimer Akach. Yushalmi that calls it Ein Adam Moichel Davish Ein Shaloi. It says Davish Lobel Yoylam. Seems to be assuming that the Chiyuv Kenas doesn't really exist yet. I mean, there is a din that should shed some light on this topic. Usher, remember, what din should shed light on this topic about is the Chiyuv of Kenas fundamentally start at the moment of the Maisa Hezek, or does it not really kick in? The Chiyuv doesn't kick in until later.
Isn't the case in Baba Kama where the Edom come after your Moda?
Okay, that's really a complicated case. So it's part of that sugya. What would the din be as follows? I ask you the following shayla, okay? Let's say I break a window and nobody saw me. Am I supposed to pay for that window? What's the answer? What's the shayla? Of course I'm supposed to pay for the window. What's the suffix? I broke the guy's window. I owe him the money. And nobody caught me. It's because I wasn't caught. Doesn't mean I didn't do something wrong. Of course I did something wrong. But let's say I was Teveach Moicher, your animal that I stole. And nobody saw me. And now comes Rav Yom Kippur, I feel really, really bad. I'd like to pay you the dal of the hay. Does that make sense? Anyone know? So it's... So I'm not chai. There's no question. If I walk to Beis Din and say, I was Teveach Yeshua, Beis Din will say, we're not going to make you pay. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking, am I chai of what? Let's say, what? The Shemaim, is that the right thing for me to do? When it comes to breaking the window, if I walk to Beis Din and say, I broke the window, not only is it a nice thing for me to do to say it, once I say it, then it's Hados Baal Dinkum Eidim Dami. So I am not questioning that Hados Baal Dinkum Eidim doesn't apply to class. I know that already. Modi B'Kras Pot, we should all know that. Modi B'Kras is Pot, Mishra Nayas. What I'm asking is, Zol Zayin Modi B'Kras is Potter, but am I supposed to pay or not? So l'chora, that's the shayla. What is the mechayev of kenas? Is the mechayev of kenas the maise hahezek? So the being me'anes, the being tevech moicher. That's the mechayev of kenas. And I did it. Nobody saw me. I'm still chayev to pay. What do I say? No, that the nature of the chayev kenas is so radically different that I'm not even chayev. Let's say it's the shemayim because the mechayev isn't even there. The mechayev is the psach beizdin. So there's a famous Rishalmi. Not surprising, in the Seventh Perek of Baba Kama, where the Rishalmi says that I'm not chayav atzeis de shemayim. I'm not chayav. So what does that indicate to me? I'm not chayav atzeis de shemayim. That the Pash just points in the direction that there's really no chiyuv whatsoever. Now who remembers which sheet in Rishayim seems to be against that? I said it under my breath a minute ago. I said it loudly under my breath before. The Rush. Remember the Rush? What was the Machlokes, the Raman, the Rush in the end of the First Perek of Baba Kama? We spoke about it a week ago or so. The Gemara says that Tfisa works for a Kenas, right? Remember the case? The Gemara says that Chatzi Nezek is only a Kenas. So in Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar of the Yonam Smuchim, so we can't force you to pay. But if a guy wants to be Typhus, he's right to be Typhus. Tfisa works. So the Rosh quoted Machlek said he had with the Ramah how to understand that Tfisa works. So the Ramah said it's a special Tokonas Achavim, Mitachat doesn't really make any sense. It's not a Din D'Oraisa. It's a special Kenas, a special Tokonas they made just to protect the rights of the Nizak. And therefore, the Ramah says he only made that takona by Chatzin Nezek of short time because the guy lost money. By Dal Behe, by Tefel, you didn't lose anything. So easy come, easy go. So you won't get. What do I make takonas for you for? And the Rosh says, no, it's not true. It's not a takonas of chum. It's not a special din. It's the regular din der ice. Whoever is still in Afshay. If I know that you broke my window, I'm allowed to take the loan to my own hands. That's the Gemara and Third Rebbe of a Kama. If I'm right, if I'm wrong, I'm going to get into a lot of trouble. But if I'm right, I'm allowed to take the loan to my own hands. Avid Yishtil L'Nafshay. So the Rosh says, the same way you say Avid Yishtil L'Nafshay, but Nezikin, you say it by Kenosos also. But wait a second, hold the phone. You say it by Kenosos? What's the Rosh saying, everybody? You say it by Kenosos. What's he saying? There's no Beis Din. There's no Psak Beis Din. And what? And you still what? The other guy still what? He's chayiv to pay the Kenos. Isn't the Rosh saying befavorish that the mechayev of a kenas is the mice itself, not the psach beis din? So how could the Rosh say that if the din is you're not chayev atzeis de shemayim, you taka not chayev atzeis de shemayim? That is the din. How could the Rosh say that? Why you're not chayev atzeis de shemayim? So the famous beer from Rabbi Chanan explains that Everybody agrees, push comes to shove, you're not chayav b'teis teis shemayim. That's like a milstab shita. It's a Rishon, a famous Rai from a Gemara. You're not mechuyav b'teis teis shemayim. But one could understand that din of not being chayav b'teis teis shemayim one of two ways. Either you could understand the kipshutai, the reason why you're not chayav b'teis teis shemayim, because you're not chayav yet. Because the b'chayav hasn't taken place yet. It hasn't occurred yet. So what's fall b'teis teis shemayim? I come to the Beis Shemal and I say, here, I'm ready to pay the kefir. The Beis says, you pay kefir what? You give the guy a gift. You're not chayav yet. That's the Pasha said. That's Rabbi Kivayeg and Marcus of Hay assumes. But says Rabbi Chanim, no, we can understand a totally different way of understanding. Why is that you're not chayav tzeis tishmayim by knas? You're not chayav because the knas, by definition, is an einish. It's an einish basin. They're einish aguv, they're einish imamim. As an einish, an onish has to be meted out by somebody. You can't volunteer punishment. If I say, gee, I broke the law, let me hit myself. That's not an einish. An einish has to be meted out by a bezdin. It has to be meted out by somebody else. A voluntary einish, there's no such thing as a voluntary einish. So when the Gemara says, and Yerushalmi says that you're not chayav tzeis tishmayim, Yerushalmi's not saying that you're not chayav. I am chayav. But what's the problem? There's no way to do it. I can't come forward and say, I want to be a nice guy and give you $100 for the kefil. It's not nitvas, it's just the batar b'yalma. So according to the other Rishayim, according to the Ramah, I'm not chayiv yet. There's no chayiv in knas ki huzeh until beizin at kapaskin. And therefore, kolzman there's no beizin, we live in chutzlar, there's no beizin smuchin, the game's over. There's no chayiv knas ki huzeh. Nishtim didi shibayim, nisht tisadish, gornish from gornish. There's no chayiv to pay at all. The only thing is, Nebuchadnezzar made a takona, laman the hefset of the nizuk. Okay, so whenever they made the takona, they made it, they did it, they did it. According to the Rosh, no, I am 1,000% chayav to pay for the Shas Ma'isa. It's just that I can't walk to Beis and say I want to be a nice guy and pay it because they don't have the mechanism to have such a kenas. Kenas has to be an einish. For a Beis, I zok to Bechonon, the einish can be meted out either by the Beis or by who else? Who else could potentially be the administrator of this einish? Who? The other Baldin. That's what Tfisa is. Tfisa means that someone can come into my house and take my car away. He can walk to my backyard and take my animal away. He has the koyach of tefis, that means he can be manish me. That's what the Rosh is saying. He has the koyach to be manish me. But if he's not forcing it, and I'm coming forward myself, even the Rosh agrees that's dvarim tevil. That's nonsense. I can't volunteer to pay a kenas because it's not called a kenas. It's called a voluntary giving you money. The only way for a kenas to be typeface is that either the beis has to beat me up, not literally but figuratively, or the other person has to beat me up, not literally figuratively. So at the end of the day, This statement of the Rishalmi that knossos are not nitan to mechila because the davar shlo bal yoylams, because they don't really exist, is not at all pashut. I mean, there are rishonim who hold this way, other rishonim who don't hold this way. So Tosfos now in Ksubas in the third pack is holding on for dear life to this Rishalmi because we have this Mishnah that Tosfos created this whole problem. It's not Tosfos' fault. The Gemara creates a problem, a kimta, 15 different pieces of information have to combine together that the Mishnah is talking about Mefatah, and in the Mishnah is the case of Eishah Zachar, which is Eishah Zachar Shenis Arshav and his Gasha, which Mefatah Pasha should be Pater on because the guy's Moichel, because the girl's Moichel. So Tosfos Dachar B'Rishalmi says no. They're not moichel because they can't be moichel if they wanted to. So the first answer to Taisus was, Hachem Ma'iskin, and they said, Hinni Mucham Zu, I'm not being moichel. So Taisus sensed that was a little bit of a dochik teretz. So Taisus, no, I got a better teretz based on the Rishami. But what's the problem with the Rishami? What's the $1 million cash against the Rishami? The Rishami says that Mechila doesn't work on Knossos. Finished, end of discussion, game's over. Mechila doesn't work on Knossos. Didn't I quote you a Mishnah that says, Hamafata as ha Arusa and his garsha. What does the Mishnah say? It says what? What does the Mishnah say? Polter. I mean, it's Mechagas HaTanoim, so it says both in the Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara says that if you hold that, the Kenas goes to her, Polter. If the Kenas goes to the father, if you believe, not like Rabbi Akiva, you hold the Kenas goes to the father, then there's nothing to discuss. Then she's not a Bayam to be Michael. But the Mishnah says, Pem Mole, the Gemara says, black on white, Inksubas, Aflamaches, that there is no Kenas. And presumably there's no Kenas because she's Mochela, so he's telling me the Rishalmi story. What kind of Rishalmi are you telling me? What did the Rishalmi do with this Mishnah? He's a Tanoim. What are you telling me a story? So the Rishalmi itself, he has this kash on itself. And Tosfos alludes to this Rishalmi and says that, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, I'm a fata as a naira, shenis arsav and his garsha, potur. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That's what it says in the Brass. It says in the Gemara, potur. You know what the Rishalmi says potur means? You won't believe this one. What does Rishami say? No? Nubishen Rishami. Potter on what? You're not really potter on the Knas. That's not, you can't be Meichel Knas. It's not, it's a double shul b'liyayim. It doesn't exist yet. You know what potter means? Every time you're ma'anis or mafat to somebody, there are other multiple tashlumins that you have to pay. What else you have to bear by say? Baishas pagam. You have to pay for loss of value. You have to pay for baishas. In the case of an onis, you have to pay for tsar also. There's no tsar by mafat. You don't have to pay for that. But you have to pay for other, multiple other things. You know what the Yishalmi says? When the Mishnah says that a mafata as a nairish and this arsa and this gasha is potur, the Mishnah never meant to say potur minakanas, because that's not true. Because she can't be machli kanas if she wanted to. You know what the Mishnah means? Potur min hawa, min abosh is a pagam. And that makes a lot of sense. Why? You tell me, why does abosh pagam make a lot of sense? Abosh pagam, bepashtus is what? Is mamon, it's not kanas. Abosh pagam corresponds to what the law says. Remember we said the other day, mamon means when my payment is commensurate with what I damaged. I broke a window, it's worth $100. I stole an animal, so I have to pay back the Karen. It was worth $100, I gave $100. The fact that I have to pay kefil, dal behei, etc., etc., all those additional things, those are kenosis. But mamon is mamon. So the Yerushalmi says that there's a split between the different tashlumins. Some of the tashlumins will be payable and some will not. Whichever tashlumins are subject to mechila will not be payable. Whichever tashlumins are not subject to mechila will be payable. How do you know which tashlumin is subject and which is not? So the Yerushalmi says, very simple cheshbon. What's a kenas, what's mamon? So if it's a kenas of 50 shekel, that's not subject to mechila because it's dovah shalom b'liyaylam, because it's no chiyuv yet. Like the those Rishon, like the Ramah, those Rishon say, like Rabbi Kveger, Machas Arei, there's no chiyuv yet. So there's no chiyuv, so memeil, it's not going to be nita l'mechila. And the Mishnah wasn't even talking about that. The Mishnah just simply said, pata means some of those chiyuvim. Which chiyuvim? The chiyuvim b'yish t'pagam. And we all know, b'yish t'pagam, that's nezek and b'yishas, those things, come on, those are easy mominis. Those are not any other Michael Dov Shalom Shalai. The other chiyuvim kicked in already, for sure. Those are mum. Those are plain, simple mum. Everybody knows that, right? You always... What? But there's an Irish and it's part of it. It's Irish and it's Garsha. So doesn't everything go to her? Okay, but that's for me for tomorrow. So this is Yerushalmi. So state Yerushalmi Feirish. The Mishnah that says Potter means Hachmai is getting begun. And the logic makes a lot of sense. That Kenas is a Kenas. The 50 shekel is a Kenas. You can't be Moichel. That's Lava Shul Aliyadim. Bosh Begam is Mammon. You can't be Moichel. Is that true, by the way? Bosh Begam is Mammon? Really? Yeah. No, so it's kind of all like, it's going like chiyuvo mechilos abayim kiyachay kind of a thing. So that Yerushalmi didn't have any problems with. Yerushalmi had a problem with the Knas is not here for another 6 months till the Beis, you know, looks at the case. But Rabbi, just as an aside, in order for this Yerushalmi to be accepted, because according to Tzitz, this Yerushalmi is saving the day. You have to fall back on that seemingly logical position that Bosh Begam is mum. It makes a lot of sense, because doesn't it correspond to reality? The 50 shekel doesn't correspond to anything. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Kenas. But Bosh Begam does seem to correspond to reality. Yeah. Well, it doesn't say Kenas, it says Potter. The Mishnah later on that says a mafata as a nairish and his garish etc. says in his chayv a mafata potter, right?
The Mishnah mamakhes.
Yeah.
But
Jews was by who? By no no that's that I keep on saying lamakhes. I think I'm wrong. Look on daf mem. Go forward to daf mem, which is the real Mishnah that says potter.
Yeah.
There it says just potter, right? Yeah. Doesn't say potter for what? So Rishalmi says on that Mishnah potter means barish tepagam. Okay, so I'm okay with saying it's Bosh Begam or Mammon. What would be a good test case, just to be 100% sure before we move on, before we analyze this even further, what would be a good test case to see, let's make sure the Bosh Begam are really Mammon, because if they're not, then we're up the creek. What would be a really good test? I mean, what's the easiest test to see whether something is Mammon or Kenas? Come on, guys. What? Mammon or Kenas. Mammon or Kenas. It's a no-brainer, right? Mammon or Kenas. Either yeah or no, right? But my mom is chayav, those what they made him. No, my mom is potter. So what's the deal? A guy walks into the bed and forget about this girl. A guy walks into the bed and says it was mevayish somebody. Chayav or potter? Anyone know? So the Mishnah says beferish that he's chayav. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer. The Mishnah says he's chayav means it's not a kenas. That's not something to make that's potter. So it's a very, very difficult Rambam, Luchos Chevul Mazik. Very startling Rambam. The Rambam writes, you want to know why Meida Bebeishas is Chayav? You want to know why? I'll tell you why, because it's a moment. Rambam says, no, that's not the reason why. Says the Rambam, the reason why Meida Bebeishas is Chayav is because when he walks into Beis Din and his mind that he was Mevayah somebody, you know what's happened to the other person there? He's turning colors. When he hears the story again, the gavalt that Reuven was mevayish me last week when he broke my arm, I was such a bush of a cherp, he's mevayish again. Says the Rambam, al zeh nema yichayev. Because every holdo b'beishas is a bay, you're being mevayish right now before the Beis Din. That's the reason why my b'beishas is chayev. So first of all, it's a big, big problem, this Rambam. Anyone learned a chayevel ever? Why is this a big problem? Just independently is a big problem. The Gemara calls that Boishas Dvarim. If I walk the Beis and I call you a really bad name and I tell terrible rumors about you, it's a shame, terrible mapnech, it's all terrible, you don't pay a penny for that. Boishas has to be like the Maisa. Boishas Dvarim is Potter. So that's the Chi of Boishas for the telling of the story in Beis Din. That wouldn't be Mechayvi and Boishas. That's a big tell in the Ram. It's not my cash, everybody's cash. Not for now. But the bigger chiddush in the Ram is, why did the Ram need a reason today that Maida B'Bashis is Potter? Everyone knows it's Potter. I'm sorry, why did the Ram need a reason today that Maida B'Bashis is Chayev? It's Chayev because it's Mammon. Zeb and Fendor, according to the Ram, B'Bashis is what? It's not really Mammon, it's really Knas. It really should have been Maida B'Knas Potter. If not for this quirk of the Ram, which we don't really understand, so if not for the fact that you're being B'Bashim again, not how long days, then I would have said that it would have been Potter. We would have covered that by Bodhi Knas Potter. So it's a very, very difficult drama. So the Rishalmi is not going down that route at all. Because the Rishalmi is saying that you can be Moichel, the Baish, the Pagam, even though you can't be Moichel, the Knas, because one is a Knas and one is Mammon. So there are a lot of problems. This Rishalmi is like loaded, like chock full of problems. Every line you go in this Rishalmi is another problem, another problem, another problem. But Tosfos is hanging the hat on it. Tosfos is saying this is the only way out, because if you really believe what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Mishnah is talking about Mafata, which again we the other Amoraim said they can't believe, but if one day in the Hilga Amoraim is up Tazoi Tayy in the Kabbal, so we have to defend the Mishnah according to that Hilga Amoraim. So if the Mishnah in Ksuvus is talking about Mafata, it's got to be consistently talking about Mafata. How can it be talking about Mafata Be'esha Sochiv? So the answer is something, we're not sure what the answer is. So Tosfos says the answer is that Hochama Eskina, and she was befeirish not Moichel. And then Tosfos says it even better to Rishalmi, even if she wanted to be Moichel, she can't be Moichel. So the first teretz of Tosfos is difficult because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Mishnah that she's screaming and yelling she's not Moichel. The second teretz of Tosfos is difficult because they're hanging on to the Rishalmi, which we have so many issues with the Rishalmi. Comes the Ramban in Maseches Ksubis, and he says that he doesn't think that we should even follow this Rishalmi, Bechlal. Says he doesn't accept this Rishon Bechlal. He thinks it's against the Gemara, against the Bavli. The Mishnah says Potter, the Bavli says Potter, 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 Potter means Potter Lagamri. Mefater, as an Irish in this Irish and his gosh, is Potter from the Kenaz. Aye, but Rishami had a stark ataina, ain't on the Meichel Dover, ain't on the Shaloi, ain't on the Meichel Dover, Shabal Yoylam. How could you be Meichel? Who saw the Ramban carefully? Every word word is gold in the Hilga Ramban. The Ramban says that the Yerushalmi is 100% right that the regular rules of Mechila will not help us here. You can't be Meichel a Knas, because quite frankly the Knas doesn't exist. There's no Chiyav yet. It's a Doshal Bali Olam. What can you do, says the Ramban? You can do better than being Meichel the Knas. You know what you can do? What can you do better than being Meichel the Knas? What can you do, Rabbi Say? You could prevent the Knas from what? From ever being chal in the first place. I think there's a phrase in medicine, something about an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It makes significantly more sense to be careful not to wait till you get sick. A person waits till he gets sick, and then he figures out what to do about it, so he may succeed in getting healed, maybe, maybe no. A person, so he does the proper things in advance to prevent him from getting sick. So Rabbi Say comes to a man and says that Meichel Mechil is not going to work for Knas. Mamash is not going to work. The Yerushalmi is right. It's no trouble in the island. It's not Peshus. It can't be Meichel Knas. What you can do is there has a halachic way to prevent the Knas from being Chal in the first place. The same way, says the Rabban, quite frankly, you can prevent other Chiv from being Chal in the first place as well. There's a mechanism in halacha that you can do to prevent a problem before it even comes. Prevent the chiyah from kicking in, from setting in before it comes. And you know what that mechanism is? It's not mechila. It's a different thing to gamre. We're going to give it a name. It's called siluk. You could be mesalik yourself. You could do something to prevent a chiyah from coming your way, from preventing someone from mischayef to you, not invoking the regular parasha of mechila. And that's the parasha of siluk, prevention. Mechila is after the fact. Mechila is after you broke the window, then we have to discuss, can I be meichel chayef? I can prevent the chayef from being chal in the first place. What's the source of this idea of preventing some kind of a chiyah moment in the first place? So this is a very, very famous gemara. It appears in the ninth parak of Ksubas. It appears in the eighth parak of Maseches Gittin. There is a din of Yerusha Sabal, that of a wife dies, so the husband is Yerusha Nechasim. It happens to be an important machlokes. It's going to impact on this in a moment. Machlokes of Rishonim, machlokes of Tanoim, machlokes of Rishonim and the Paskin. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabanan? What makes it so confusing is because the whole Pashas Yerusha appears in Pashas Pinchas. We just read it a couple weeks ago. And Pashas Pinchas spells out all the Yerushim. Everyone's on the list. Talks about sons and daughters and brothers and fathers and uncles and everyone's on the list except for who? The husband's not mentioned. At least not Tosh B'Shav. Doesn't say the word husband in there, Bichlal. So one Tana says, you know why it doesn't say the husband? Because he doesn't exist. Because Minat Torah doesn't exist. The Mishnah says, when a wife dies, the husband is Yeresh. So one Tana says, that's a din midrabbanan. And the other Tana says, no, it's a mamash, a din derais. It's learned that from Pesachim. We had the Pesachim, so we got all the Yeshnech, and the whole 8th parak of Babasa, 32 blot, to figure out, where is the Mokar? The Yeresh Osa, Osov, Osov, the whole Derasha, the Sheirein, Sheirein, Ishta, you're looking between the lines. So the Teshuvah will figure out for you, according to that Tana, what the din is, whether what the source is that you should have derais. Fine. But there is a din about how Yishlai says din of Yerusha Sabal. So comes the Gemara and says, what if a couple's about to get married and they want to make the following deal? The wife's coming in with a lot of money, and she's not particularly interested in dying. I think anyone's particularly interested in dying. She's not particularly interested in dying and the husband walking away with her entire fortune. So they want to make some kind of a condition, some kind of a tanai. I guess in today's lingo they're called a prenuptial agreement. They want to make some kind of an agreement that he's not going to be Yerusha. So how do you do that exactly? So the Gemara says, no problem. They should enter into this agreement when they're in the state of Kedushin before the state of Nisuin. Now we know in the olden days there was a big break, 6 months a year, a long, long time between Kedushin and Nisuin. There's no halacha that you have to have a break between Kedushin and Nisuin. It was a custom, it was a practice, Bizman Chazal. So Bizman Hazeh, we don't do it anymore. We don't have these breaks anymore for technical reasons. This has already been, it's been out of style to have a break for about 1,000 years or so. It actually went out of style in the days of the Crusades. That the Rishonim at the time of the Crusades were very nervous because what used to happen in the old days is, let's say, a girl would have Kedushin and she continued to live with her father, with her parents, and then the husband, the chassid, would go back to his town. She'd stay in her town. And then 6 months later, 8 months later, 10 years later, a year later, they would get back together, they get married. But Minatur, she's an Ishish Gemur. She's not Ishish. What would happen? Then all of a sudden there'd be a pogrom, there'd be a crusade. And a crusade would happen, half the people would be killed, no one would know who's dying, who's alive, people would be running from one town to another, helter-skelter. This is chaos in the Middle Ages. And people would disappear, and your mama shouldn't know, and now I never should have. So if the woman's living with her husband, so we hope the husband and wife will be together, there'll be a unit, she'll know whether he did die, didn't die. But if he's living 100 miles away, and she's been up here, no one's going to know. So it's going to be gefil. You have terrible, terrible agun issues and other issues and terrible, terrible gefil stories that were going to happen. So the Rishonim did away with this minug of separating the kedusha. It's just not a good idea anymore. Again, if it would have been a din, so you have to figure out. Whether you can be about the other. But it never was a din anyway. It never was a minug. It was a norm. It was a cultural norm. Not everything that a community does is a minug in halacha. People get very, very confused about this. There are halachic minhagim, and then there are certain cultural things. So there are halachic minhagim. There's a din of shini amakom. You know, you have to follow the minhag amakom. But there's a cultural norm that exists. You don't want to make waves. You don't want to make a fight. You don't want to make a machloikas over things. Okay, so that's, you know, a shot of them machloikas. But that's not a minhag amakom. That's just people do X, Y, and Z. So they do it for whatever. Technical reason that they do it. That's not a halachic minhag. Sometimes it's very, very hard. Sometimes, even in regular halacha, sometimes it's not always so easy to tell what's a halachic minhag and what's just some cultural thing. Because halachic minhag is not supposed to change. Cultural norms, do whatever you want with the cultural norm. So sometimes it's not even 100% clear in certain things in halacha/minhag. Are they rooted in halacha? Is the minig rooted in some kind of a halachic concern, or is it rooted in just culture? Let's say the moshul. So we have a minig, Ashkenazim, a minig not to eat kidneys on Pesach. So everybody agrees the minig of not eating kidneys is rooted in a halachic concern. Again, whether the halachic concern exists today, does exist today, that's a kippur. Whether there was some Rishonim who didn't think it existed even the days that it existed. Okay, so you can discuss it. You know, it's a good, legitimate discussion. And the answer is it still exists. And the answer is that the minig still is bound on all Yotzei Ashkenaz. So Ashkenazim still have to be machmir not to eat kidneys today. So that was a minig that came about because of halachic concerns. Well, let's say, for example, in some communities, the Chassidic communities, they accepted a minig, not the kibrachas. So yeah, I personally don't have the minig. My family never had that minig, so I'm not mechuyav to adopt that minig because the poskim where my family lived from weren't too concerned. But those who were concerned, it was based on a halachic concern. The halachic concern was that maybe the dough is still not fully baked and therefore could potentially become chametz afterwards. So you can discuss, was that a good concern? Was it a right minig, a wrong minig? You know, again, a different yesh v'yesh. You know, at the end of the day, probably that's the kind of a minig that whatever your family is, you continue to follow. But then you have other kind of minhagim and not 100% clear, are they rooted really in halacha or are they rooted just in almost like convenience, you know, things like that. It's like lamashal. It's a question. Post can discuss. Ashkenazim always eat. We've been eating hard, crispy, very, very thin matzahs for as long as we can remember. On the other hand, we know that there are temanim, there are svadim who eat softer matzahs. Now, nobody's questioning those matzahs are chas shalom chometz. We know that the matzahs, if they bake properly, they bake carefully. So the din is there's no din that matzah has to be a crinkly, crackery, you know, thin. You could theoretically make a softer matzah as long as you're very, very careful that it's baked properly, baked fully, you know, fully baked within 18 minutes. So it's going to be halachli matzah. It's not going to be a chometz problem. But Ashkenaz communities have not baked those kinds of matzahs for as far back as we can remember. So the question is, the reason why we're not baking matzahs that way, was that for a halachic reason? Because we were concerned with baking soft matzahs, there's more room to mess up, and it's more becomes like a minig shel mitzvah, and now it's almost like binding, and therefore Ashkenazim shouldn't be eating those kinds of matzahs. Or was it considered as a practical consideration? Those matzahs don't stay fresh for very long, and you have to keep on baking, and they didn't want to start keep on baking on Pesach. You come up with a million. Again, I'm not a halachic historian, and I'm explaining to you why it did or did not happen. So every time you have a minig, you have to always be careful before you paskin with such certainty that this minig is binding. Yeah, have to. This is what we did last year. We have to do it now. Why do it last year? Maybe you did it last year because it was something, that was the, you know, again, you have to be careful. So it's in shuls, you have the same thing. The shul, this is the minig in the shul. The minig in the shul, why? Because last year the lights weren't working. So last year the minig is to say, to daven in the dark. That doesn't mean anything. I'm talking about Tisha B'Av. So about, you have to be careful before you say that's the minig. The minig of Malkom is to do as well. The minig of Malkom is no minig of Malkom. It's culture. So then you have to determine when you do say lo yishan al b'nei machlokes, when you don't say it, etc. So you have to be careful that not everything that quote unquote people are doing is automatically not taking a stand in any one of those minhagim that I said, but especially not the soft matzah issue. But you have to be careful to always ask yourself that the question. It's like we believe emunah shleim that the Torah doesn't change, the halacha doesn't change. That's part of the yud gimli kari emunah. But the cultural aspects of how we perform certain mitzvahs, of course, changes. If someone's going to say to you, how can you use bamboo for schach? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use bamboo. So you could have one of two ridiculous conclusions of that. Oh, it must be that we're not allowed to use bamboo because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use bamboo. That's one absurd halachic conclusion. Well, what's the other conclusion? No, we can use bamboo because why? Because it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu used bamboo. So that's probably not an absurd halachic conclusion. It's probably an absurd historical conclusion because we don't know, we don't have any evidence that bamboo grew in the Midbar in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the odds are he probably didn't use bamboo. And I wouldn't say that's kriver to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use bamboo. Okay, not sticks, not poles, not mats, nothing. He probably didn't use bamboo. So what's the teretz? The teretz is that in Eastern Europe, nobody used bamboo because bamboo came from China. No one was importing bamboo from China to Poland in the 1920s. So nobody used bamboo. In America, somebody came up with a great idea that bamboo is so much easier than using branches and leaves. It's so much more convenient. It's stored every year. So you go, it came and it meets all the halachic check off. It's not mekabotum, and it's not mekarka, and it's not mechubah. That's great. Why not? The din was said to Moshe Rabbeinu that tzchach has to have certain conditions. How, what you want to use to meet those conditions is what they eat. The din was said that matzah has to be flour and water baked for less than 18 minutes. You want your matzahs to be square, you want it to be round, you want it to be upside down, you want it to be right side up. You figure out what you want to do. So some communities are baking matzahs azoy, so baking matzahs azoy. So that's not a kfira in saying that the mitzvahs changes. The different ways to prepare chafetz chametzos change. So that's perfectly legitimate. That's been constant like that. I remember when I was a little boy, so in the early years, so we used to have the schach was the old, so you guys don't even remember these days, but people used to go get branches every year. The bamboo wasn't prevalent back then. When I was a kid growing up in the 1960s, so there was no bamboo. So they used to use branches, like the old ones, they did in Europe, branches and leaves. So I remember when I got a little old, all of a sudden bamboo became, hit the bark, and it became a very, very convenient, easy way to make schach. You didn't have to bother the barn and get finding new branches every year. So I remember my grandma, Shalom, walked into the sukkah the first night, the year that we switched over to bamboo. So I remember she looked up, and she asked one question. She says, "Where's the schach?" She couldn't understand. She grew up in Eastern Europe, grew up in Poland. Schach, and her mind meant branches and leaves. And he said, if it's not green, and it's not branches, she couldn't even be toy-faced that I'll be din, this is just as good as branches. So you have to always be careful that you don't go overboard in terms of understanding. You have to understand what's a din, what's a minhag, and even within the minhag, you have to understand the different. Why the world are we talking about this? I forgot how we got onto this topic. Oh, yeah, so how did we get it from Yerusha Baal? I don't even remember that anymore. Oh, about separating Kedusha and Nisuin, and that's what we got. I wish I could have been like in left field. I could have been in La La Land. I have no idea where I got it. Yeah. So separating Kedusha and Nisuin was never did in the first place. It was a minute. It was a cultural norm. It worked out well. So easy come, easy go. It didn't work out so well in the days of Crusades. So it stopped. Baruch Hashem, enough Crusades anymore. Baruch Hashem, hopefully people will stay safe. But it's still not such a good idea, Bismanaz. And that's why nobody does it. That's why we don't say Chad Hashem again. Let's go back to the old days. So we continue. How is that? What's been going on for the last 1,000 years? We don't separate Kiddushin and Nisuin anymore. We have a problem under the chuppah because of that. We have a Hilchos Brachos problem that came into existence under the chuppah dafka because of this problem. In the old days, so they would make Brachos Erusin. Those look super stuff Zayin. They make Brachos Erusin in the father's house. They mazel tov to everybody. Make a little party, a little something. Then everyone went home. And then a year later, they come back like a big shebang. And they take Brachos Nisuin, the Brachos under the chuppah that we do. So in the old days, you make a bar piyag offering for the Eris, and then a year later, you'd have a bar piyag offering for the Nisuin. A year is a good hefsek l'choladeus. B'zman hazeh, we do a kedusha in Nisuin right after, within 30 seconds of each other. He gives it a ring, and then 10 seconds later, they're standing under the chuppah, they go to the yichud room. So how can you make another bar piyag offering? It's a problem. On the other hand, we want each part of the component of the marriage ceremony to have its own bracha. So the Rishayim came with the Gevaldike Eitza. You know what it's called? It's called wasting time. Let's think of something that can stall. Let's stall to create a hefsek of those brachas. That's like what many people are going to do tomorrow for a mincha. Many people are going to eat their meal at 6 o'clock. We spoke about this last week. They eat the regular supper at 6 o'clock. And then everyone's going to go daven mincha and then come back and have a sudum of sekas. So you created a make-believe, an artificial hefsek. So the Rishayim already insisted. The Rishayim already instituted an artificial hefsek under the chuppah. You know what the artificial hefsek is? What's it called? Reading the ksuba. No, doesn't say anywhere, not a din deraisa, not a din derabanan, doesn't say chazal. There's no mitzvah to read the ksuba under the chuppah. You have to write the ksuba and sign the ksuba before the couple gets married. In Shabbat, there's no mitzvah to read it. It's an IOU note that you have to read it for. The whole ksuba is a little bit too excited. People are hanging up fancy schmancy ksubas. Okay, I don't want to put the artist out of business, but between you and me, it's an IOU. It says that payable upon not such pleasant things, it says in the ksuba. So the bottom line is that why do we read the ksuba and the chuppah? For one reason alone, to create a hefsek between the kedushin and the nisuin. That's it. Because of Hilchos Brachos, because we changed the practice in the days of the Rishonim, so the Rishonim came up with this eitz to read the ksuba. That's the only reason why you read it. In today's world, people think that's the biggest kibbutz. After Mesach Kedushin, that's the highest possible kibbutz. That's a leitonis. It's the lowest kibbutz. It's a meaningless kibbutz. You want a real kibbutz, you've got to be an eight kedushin. That means you're conceding that he's from, that he's not a gadol. Not a Gazan, he's Shomer Shabbos, he's a Mammon, all the conditions be from. To give a guy to read a Ksuba, anybody can read a Ksuba. So you have to be able to read Aramaic, don't you break your teeth over the Aramaic. So some Rabbanim want to be so machmer in this din in Hilchos Brachos, they want to make sure that there's a hefsek in the Choladeus, so they don't suffice with reading Ksuba. What do they do? You have a good geshmak, a warm drush under the Chuppah, speak for an hour and a half under the Chuppah, so then it's no Sami Brachos the Choladeus. So you're not mechuv to do that either. So, Acharei Kechlei Sakol, there is a difference between Kedusha and Nisuin, and there's a little bit of a window, and in the days of Chazal, it was a 6 months, 10 months, 12 months window of opportunity. So that's what the Gemara says, and Ksuba said, "Get the wait a second. The dinim of Yerusha Sabal only kick in when she's in Nisua. Not if she would die at the time of the Everson, there would be no Yerusha Sabal. So maybe, if the couple wants to agree, he doesn't want to, you know, get her upset, so he'll agree to this prenup that she wants. Let's write up a condition. Let's spell out a condition that he is going to be mevater. He's going to be, I don't mean the word meichel literally, he's going to be mesalach himself in the zchuyos of Yerusha, and let him do that siluk before Yerusha kicks in. Maybe he could do such a stunt. So the Ramban dug up that Gemara and says, that Gemara in Ksubas and Gittin is going to be the answer to my question. That's going to be the real solution to why this little girl, the Mefata, is quote unquote, and I'm going to say it in a bad word, Mechel. It's not really Mechel. She can't be Mechel. She's Mesalik from the Chiv of Knas. So everything's going to be on Mekami of Yerushalayim. Now when the Mishnah says Potter, Taka means Potter, but it doesn't mean Mechila. There is no Mechila. It means a Siluk. Of course, that's not going to bode well for our sugya. If once you reject the Rishalmi and say there is a mechanism of avoiding pain, if that's true, so then we're going to have to be in big trouble, because then we're going to have to say that Hachamai is getting, she's screaming and yelling, I'm not Meichel, Nishbin Meichel. So that's going to make matters worse for us in terms of textually in the sugya. So we got a lot of work to do. Tomorrow, we're going to pick up from the Ramban's Nakuda. That this Ramban's idea that Mechila, the Rishalmi Stachel Rai, can't work because it's Dabashal Dolayalam, but Sila can work. We have to figure out what in the world this means. What's the mokh of a siluk? If the Rabban is basing himself on the case of the Arusa, who's being misalik herself from the husband, getting the husband's being misalik from the Arusha that should be coming to him in the future, we have to hopefully understand that Gemara a little bit better, understand the Ramban's application, then understand how the Ramban goes one step further and maybe two steps further. We got a lot more work to do in the sugya. So again, we'll see. We may finish the sugya tomorrow, may not, I'm not sure. If by some chance we don't finish the sugya tomorrow, then maybe we'll figure out a way to finish it either Friday or Sunday, because probably next week I'm going to be away for a couple of days. So I want to give the guys just this. We can turn off the recording. Recording doesn't have to hear this part. So the recording's not even on. The recording's on here. Sorry. So.